Tuning in. Stick around for a while tonight. We'll try our best to drive you crazy. We're going to be joined about an hour by Shannon Moore, radio talk show host from KUDO 1080 AM in Anchorage, Alaska. You probably have seen her on the Keith Olbermann program, Countdown. But it has to do with Sarah Palin testifying in Tennessee last week in the case where her email account was hacked by some kid who was apparently doing a practical joke. And Shannon has some information about the time that Sarah Palin hacked an email account. So we'll find out a little bit more about that later on tonight. Is that all we have tonight? That's the guest? Okay. All right. The Senate Republicans are at it again. They had a couple of weeks where they didn't have to say no, 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 no. So they got to say it again today by a vote of 57-41. Senate Republicans today, with the assistance from former Democrat Ben Nelson of Nebraska. I say former because, you know, this guy is about as much of a Democrat as, well, as I am, I guess. But he joined the Republicans, and the vote was 57-41 in favor of talking about it. What the vote was about was to try to cut off a filibuster, and they needed 60 votes. So what we've got here is government by the minority, and as long as the Republicans have at least 40 votes or 41 votes, they'll continue to use the little nuclear option. Remember all that talk about the nuclear option when the Republicans were saying, how dare the Democrats choose a nuclear option, or whatever they go. So here we go again. Same bull crap, same lies, same nonsense as we had about health insurance, only this time what the Republicans are saying essentially is they want Wall Street to screw the American public again and again and again. Just keep doing it. I hate these bastards. I hate them. Republicans are once again siding with Wall Street interests, leaving the United States vulnerable, all of us vulnerable, to another financial collapse. And the reason they do that is because they are rat bastards down to the core. They really are. Republicans. Anyone who votes Republican deserves all the hell that comes their way. And a lot of hell comes and will continue to come. President Obama had a statement about this. He said, "I'm deeply disappointed that Senate Republicans voted in a block against allowing a public debate, on Wall Street reform to begin. Some of these senators may believe that this obstruction is a good political strategy, and others may see delay as an opportunity to take this debate behind closed doors where financial industry lobbyists can water down reform or kill it altogether. But the American people can't afford that. A lack of consumer protections and a lack of accountability on Wall Street nearly brought our economy to its knees and helped cause the pain that has left millions of Americans without jobs and without homes. The reform that both parties have been working on for a year would prevent a crisis like this from happening again. And I urge the Senate to get back to work and put the interests of the country ahead of party." That's not going to happen with Republicans. Republicans don't give a damn about this country. They hate this country. They have for the past 50 years. Past 100 years. They want to do anything they can to destroy America. If that is not abundantly clear at this point, I don't know what it's going to take to get that point across. It's my understanding that another attempt may be made as soon as tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Just, you know, I just wonder how the Tea Party morons feel about this, right? The Tea Party morons who are really Republicans, trying to act all macho and tough, out on the streets. Mark Perkel writes, it's going to be interesting to see how the Tea Party crowd responds to the Republican blocking the Democrats from stopping bank bailouts and fixing the problems that led to the collapse of the economy and the high unemployment deficit. Supposedly, the Tea Party, the teabaggers, are independent and are interested in issues. But when the Democrats give them what they want and the Republicans block it, will they support the Democrats? The quick answer is no, because the teabaggers are not, they're not anything. They're not in favor of or against anything. They don't like Negroes. That's all. They are racist. That's the only issue in the mind of a bagger. They don't like black people. Never have, never will, would like them all to go away. And as long as Barack Obama is in the White House, these rat bastards will do everything they can to thwart his presidency. God. You know, in a capitalist economy like the one we live in, anything that can be sold will be sold. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Capitalism has no restrictions, nothing, where it concerns ethical behavior, ethical conduct, moral conduct, proper conduct, whether that conduct is, whether it's conduct within the economic realm, the personal realm, the religious realm, the education realm. None of, there's no such thing in capitalism as ethical behavior. And the reason for it is all based on profit. Give me profit. Maximize profit. If people suffer, if children suffer, if nations suffer, if morality suffers, if ethics go down the toilet, it doesn't matter to capitalism. It never has, it never will. To argue otherwise is to be a moron. Capitalism is about one thing only, capital, hence the name, capitalism. And it's about maximizing profit, period. So in that light, the Supreme Court has decided to hear a case deciding whether California and six other states can forbid the sale to minors of video games that show images of human beings being maimed, killed, or sexually assaulted, right? The court agreed today to decide whether or not it's constitutional to allow that. Now, California, I'm sorry, whether it's constitutional to ban it. California's law, like the other states, has been blocked based on a free speech challenge lodged by the video gaming industry. Now, here we go. Free speech. Okay, free speech has its limits. The video gaming industry is not interested in free speech, for God's sake. What they're interested in is profit. If it's violence or maiming or killing or boiling people alive or burning them or ripping their heads off or eviscerating them or smashing them, whether it's men, women, or children, the more gore the better, then the video, and if that can be sold, which it can, then the video gaming industry, by God, wants their right as a corporate citizen equal to you and me, thanks to the Supreme Court. They want their right to make as much profit as they can. Ethics? Screw ethics. Doing what's right? Get real. Proper behavior? Oh, please. What are you, some kind of a wimp? So, it came as a surprise that the Supreme Court would hear this. because the move came less than a week after the justices, in an 8-1 ruling, struck down a federal law on free speech grounds that made it a crime to sell videos of illegal acts of animal cruelty. Remember that last week? The Supreme Court says, oh, you can show animals ripping each other to pieces. We don't care. This is America.
Stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. The case that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the ban. Yeah, it was a ban which was signed into law by the governor there, Schwarzenegger, in 2005. It would impose a civil fine on retailers who sell or rent to minors video games that were labeled as violent. But before it could go into effect, the Entertainment Software Association and the Video Software Dealers Association went to court, and a federal judge blocked the law from being enforced. And last year, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the ban was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court will hear it this fall. But to me, this is another example of what happens in a society based on this horror that is predatory capitalism. Anything goes. It doesn't matter. You want offshore drilling? Okay, we'll give you offshore drilling. And when you have these disasters like we have right now, with thousands of gallons a day being poured into the Gulf and into the Gulf Stream, does the Gulf Stream go that way? I'm trying to remember. But when you have that happen and everybody says, oh my God, oh my God. No. That's part of the price that is paid. The oil companies don't pay that. Exxon, in Alaska, the Exxon Valdez disaster. Exxon never paid a dime. Oh, they paid off a few commercial fishermen. But Exxon has delayed. How long has that been now? Are we up to 15 years? Or has it been 16? 17? How many years has it been since the Exxon Valdez disaster? And Exxon Mobil, or whoever owns them now, they've never paid the fines that were levied against them. They've never done anything. And they never will. So as far as predatory capitalism ever caring about people, about the environment, about honor, justice, ethics, fair play, balance, truth, forget it. As long as we have capitalism, we have a system that is predatory. And if you're one of the small fish, boom, you get eaten. A bunch of the baggers got together with Glenn Beck in Texas out there, and I believe it was in Tyler, Texas. Tyler, Texas. Hey, oh, yeah. Glenn Beck. I think Glenn Beck is, I hope Glenn Beck continues to do exactly what he's doing. He's getting crazier and crazier. Next, he's going to go on his program, and he's going to tell his listeners that he is really the Messiah. I realize there's some Latino out there right now who's claiming he's the Messiah. But Beck is going to say he is Jesus Christ. What happened, he had another one of his gatherings of people that still need to be toilet trained, and it was at a rally called Taking Back America from the Negro. Texas State Representative Leo Berman said, according to the Tyler Morning newspaper, he said, I believe that Barack Obama is God's punishment on us today. Yeah, amen. But in 2012, we're going to make Obama a one-term president. Now, that's what So what this Berman is saying is he's stronger than his degenerate, goofy God. That's God's curse. But we're going to remove the curse. Because we're stronger than God. Mr. Berman, let me tell you something. When finally you are harvested and sent to hell, which you surely will be, because hell for you people does exist, exists in your own psychosis. When that finally happens, God is going to pinch your head off and throw it to the demons to be used as a soccer ball, too. Anyway, according to what I have here, Berman's extreme words were accompanied by other comments from conservative figures, including Representative Louis Gohmert. Boo, 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 boo. Now, he's big time. At the height of the healthcare craziness last month, this is the guy that said demons had invaded Washington. Demons had invaded Washington and were causing Democrats to mislead voters about the merits of the health insurance reform bill. Demons. You thought it was just crazy Catholics that said demons were wandering around in the Vatican? No, no, no. Louis. No, not Louis. Yeah, Louis Gohmert. Hey, Louis, them demons still out there? Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're still out there. Now the demons are trying to get financial reform. There's demons. So then Glenn Beck got up and said, do you believe this is God's land? Do you believe our Constitution was divinely inspired? Why do you believe these things? If God is with us, who can possibly stand against us? The answer is no one. You see, this is what the crazy Muslim fundamentalists, they say the same thing. Glenn Beck is crazy. And I can't wait until he finally loses it and goes on his TV program. Before the hour.
What am I hearing?
Oh my goodness, are we okay now? All right, getting some kind of double, triple feedback, just a regular night on the Malloy program. A couple of you have emailed me. The Exxon Valdez oil spill happened in 89, so it's been 21 years. Todd in Arizona says the fine had been reduced twice, with the last one decided by the John Roberts Supreme Court last year. It was reduced from $2.5 billion to $500 million. Not bad if you consider Exxon's quarterly profits are in the $15 billion range. I have to go now. I have to keep looking for my birth certificate. Todd in Arizona. So they reduced it by 75%. Is that right? No, by 80%. See, that's how it works in a capitalist society. The people are totally immaterial, superfluous. Their rules, their laws, their lives, all of it is meaningless in a capitalist society. Capitalism is about the preservation, development, care of capital. That's all, capital. And regarding the video games, Jason in Newcastle, Washington writes, Mike, video games are perfect indoctrination for military service. Blood, gore, rape, and other forms of violence are what the U.S. military and its mercenary surrogates are all about. Reactionaries like the Supreme Court do not want them prohibited any more than they want young people to have decent job opportunities. Can you imagine what that might do to recruiting numbers? Jason in Newcastle. Well, that's true. That's very true. So, yeah, the Supreme Court is going to rule that that sort of stuff is legal. You know that. 5,000 people waited in line and registered for treatment at a free... This is from Los Angeles. For treatment at a free health clinic opening this week at the L.A. Sports Arena. Organizers say 5,599 patients claimed their non-transferable wristbands on Sunday, yesterday, and can return for treatment for 7 days starting Tuesday, when dentists, doctors, and other healthcare professionals will be at the arena. The clinic is run by Remote Area Medical, a Tennessee-based nonprofit group. An 8-day clinic at the Forum in Inglewood, California, last August drew more than 6,000 patients, but thousands more had to be turned away. Kate in the desert just got back from doing some work at the Remote Area Medical in Tennessee. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so. And then there's this. Two lawmakers in Illinois, both Democrats, say violence has become so rampant in Chicago that the National Guard should be called in to help. These two Democrats made a public plea to Governor Pat Quinn yesterday to send in the troops. The request comes amid a recent surge in violent crime, including a night last week that saw 7 people killed and 18 wounded, mostly by gunfire. Chicago has had 113 homicides so far this year. The Chicago police superintendent says he appreciates lawmakers' frustration and willingness to help, but doubts the National Guard is the best answer. And I heard later on this afternoon that the governor, Pat Quinn, said the National Guard would not be called out unless there was some move made by Richie Daley, the mayor of Chicago, to ask for help. And the only time that would happen is if the Democratic Convention is held there in 2012, like his dad did. Another Glenn Beck listener was busted in at a North Carolina airport, the Asheville, North Carolina Regional Airport. The guy's name is Joseph Sean McVeigh. Spells it differently. Joseph Sean McVeigh. He is from Coshocton, Ohio, which is, if I remember, Coshocton is on the Ohio River, I believe. He's charged with going armed in terror of the public. I don't know what that means. It's a misdemeanor. He was spotted at a North Carolina airport parking lot just after Air Force One departed Sunday. And he told an officer he wanted to see the president. He had a car equipped with police gear, including a siren and flashing lights. Obama was spent the weekend in Asheville. He was headed to that memorial service for the 29 West Virginia coal miners killed in the explosion. About 2 p.m. Sunday, airport police saw McVeigh get out of a maroon car with Ohio plates, and he had a sidearm. Both airport police and the Secret Service questioned him. He was taken into custody. He was nowhere near the president's plane, which had already departed. But his car was equipped with a clear LED law enforcement-style strobe lights in the front and rear dash, mounted digital camera, 4 large antennas on the trunk lid, siren box, yada, yada, yada. And he's not in law enforcement. When an officer asked him what he was doing, McVeigh told the officer he heard the president was in town, wanted to see him. He's being held in the county jail, $100,000 bond. Another Glenn Beck listener who couldn't make it all the way to the rally down in Texas and decided to to save America, you know, because Obama is God's curse on Texas, and Glenn Beck was in Texas. So add one and one, and you get 666. It's very simple. So this guy named, oddly enough, McVeigh, decided to go to Asheville, North Carolina, and murder President Obama, because that's what Glenn Beck is telling his listeners to do. Glenn Beck is telling his listeners to kill the President of the United States. No? You don't think that if you listen to Glenn Beck day in and day out, and you're already a little bit crazy because you're a teabagger and your mind is turning into sawdust, but because you've got Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and all these people, until eventually, I'll do it! I'll do it! So another Beck listener makes a unsuccessful attempt to get close to the president for the purpose of killing him. Glenn Beck is instructing, get this down, get this down, come on, get it down, get it right. Glenn Beck is using his radio program to instruct people to kill the president. Period. Get it down. Come on. I want to see that all over the right-wing websites tomorrow. I want to see that. I want you little trolls out there to put it all over. Thank you. National Guard is not the answer. Oh, yeah. This is a letter to the editor, then, to the Chicago Tribune. From Reverend Michael Flegger, pastor of the Faith Community of St. Sabinia in Chicago. And the Reverend wrote, yesterday two state reps held a press conference to ask Governor Quinn and Mayor Daley to call the National Guard into Chicago. I respect these men. I understand their frustration. Just last Friday, I did a funeral for another 22-year-old who had been gunned down. However, I do not believe the National Guard is the answer. The National Guard comes as a last resort when all else has been tried. That hasn't happened yet. What we need is parents and adults to rise up and take control of our homes, our blocks, and our community. We cannot ask the National Guard to do what we have failed to do. Secondly, the National Guard is trained to kill, and their mission is suppression. Chicago, wake up, get up, stand up, take charge of your city. Yes, we need the national government to give us funds for programs, jobs for our youth, and resources to strengthen our community. But we do not need them to patrol the streets that we've ignored. That's our job. Before we call the National Guard, the Reverend Satt writes, let us do this. Call parents to take charge of their homes and children. Call neighbors to come out and take authority of their blocks. Call block cubs to reorganize and start holding their meetings outdoors. Call on churches to come out and get involved in the community. Call young people to stand up and talk to their peers about stopping violence. Call on Washington to send the promised resources, summer jobs, money for programs, and positive alternatives for youth. Teach conflict resolution in schools. Ban assault weapons and title guns the same way you title cars. Call on state legislators to fix school funding. Stop cutting human resources and youth programs to fix the budget. Call education systems to teach conflict resolutions. Call police districts to hold community meetings and strengthen police and community relationship. Yes, the violence is out of control. But there are a lot of calls we need to make before we call the National Guard. Reverend Michael Flegger, pastor, Faith Community, St. Sabinia, Chicago. You're absolutely right, Reverend. But you're also doing what a lot of us do about this issue. You're stating the case clearly. But ban assault weapons, title guns like we title cars, fix the schools, stop cutting human resources. Never. This is the United States of America. We are a dying empire. We're only interested in two things, that our predatory capitalists make a lot of money and our military keeps killing. Period.
flying monkey-free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Greg in Bethesda writes in, he's got a quote here from Al Capone. Quote, capitalism is the legitimate racket of the ruling class. Really? Is that a Capone? I wouldn't be surprised. All right. A missive from Prairie 2 here. And coming up after the break, Shannon Moore of KUDO in Anchorage, Alaska is going to join us. The subject line, medium fish should be nervous. Prairie 2 writes, shares of Goldman Sachs dropped another $5 today as the third shareholder lawsuit was filed in federal court, as well as accusing Goldman's management of breaching fiduciary duties by committing fraud in the sale of the worst possible of bad mortgages, and then betting the same mortgages that Goldman no longer owned would fail. This new suit also accuses CEO Lloyd Blankfein of concealing from shareholders the notification from the SEC of its civil case last July. Executives of Goldman seem oblivious that they've done anything wrong. Of course not. Several were quoted repeating the talking point that the fact that they made money shorting these bad investments proved that they were pretty smart. They claimed that they haven't lost any investors since the SEC revelation, and it appears they haven't. Part of that is the investors are locked in for the near future and can't just leave. Also, if you still have your money, you might think they're doing a good job. On the other hand, locked in a bank with robbers and taking their side is where the term Stockholm Syndrome comes from. Emails have emerged in evidence of Goldman Sachs rolling in profits during the housing collapse when they had claimed under oath that they had lost money. Their profits came from derivatives or bets against or short selling the very mortgage-backed securities they had been selling to their customers. Their response is that they were being victimized by the Senate committee that released the messages because they are, quote, cherry-picking. Only 4 out of thousands of emails, if you only cherry-pick those pictures of me in the bank brandishing a gun while holding the bag with a dollar sign on it, then of course I look like a criminal. They did ultimately take mortgage losses, but only after the good mortgages started going bad, too. They didn't think to short those. It never occurred to them that wrecking the economy might be bad for the business in the long run. But they got their bonuses anyway, so who cares? The Republicans have filibustered the Wall Street Reform Bill today, saying if there is no compromise, then they will introduce their own bill. The Senate is 59% Democrats. So that whole democracy thing seems to be lost on Republicans. They waved around an alternate to Obama's budget, but it had no numbers. Their alternative to health insurance reform had no federal regulations and made it possible to avoid all state regulations while preserving their antitrust exemption to encourage competition, of course. It appears, after all, in a free market, the small fish should expect to be eaten, and medium fish should be nervous. PrairieNumeral2.com, which is pretty much what we were talking about earlier in the program. Capitalism wants you dead, but only if it can make money on your death. It wants you alive, but only if it can make money while you're alive, selling you garbage, crap, lies, deceit, murder, mayhem, wars, bombs, destruction, lies, phoniness, falsity, dishonor. Did I leave anything out? Oh, and in case you're wondering what Billy Graham was doing in Asheville, North Carolina, he made a side trip over to Mount Airy, or near Mount Airy, which is the Billy Graham family complex or compound. Obama, according to the Associated Press, made a short drive to Montreat, which I guess is near Mount Airy, which is from Asheville, where he spent the weekend to see the 91-year-old Graham and his son Franklin. During the visit, which lasted about 30 minutes, Mr. Obama had a private prayer and conversation with Billy Graham. White House spokesman Bill Burton said he is extraordinarily gratified that he took the time to meet with him. I guess the first he is Obama, the next he is Billy Graham, and the him is Obama. Mr. Burton, the White House spokesman, said, described Billy Graham as, quote, an important spiritual leader to past presidents and a real treasure to our country. And the president appreciates the opportunity to visit him at his home, end quote. Oh, God. Why would Barack Obama be meeting with people who are apostles of the most hate-filled rhetoric right now in a world that is just chock-a-block with hate-filled rhetoric? I don't know. I guess that's to undercut the Republican crazy teabag psychopaths. I don't know. It just really bothers me. Why would the president, any president, go see this old coot up in the mountains in North Carolina who is telling everybody that essentially don't do anything because Jesus is coming back and you're going to rapture up to heaven and the earth that's going to be destroyed and Satan is going to walk and fires of hell and damnation are coming. Hey, hiya, hiya. Prayer breakfast. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Did you know that last...
Seekers, it is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We are going to be joined here in about 20 seconds by Shannon Moore. You probably have seen her as a guest on either Rachel's program, Rachel Maddow.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, and coming up after the next break, podcast trivia, where you can win a free one-year subscription to the Malloy program. Podcast downloads, commercial-free. So during the next break, we'll open up the lines, and you can take a shot at it. Anyway, here in Georgia, a state representative is sponsoring a bill that will require all presidential candidates to prove their citizenship before getting on the ballot in the state. And his half-witted statement, he said, in view of all the uncertainty and all the disagreement about any proof of citizenship of the current president, I believe that no citizen should ever have any doubts about the citizenship of the highest elected official of the land. I don't think the American people have been given any adequate documentation of the president's citizenship. Oh, my God. You know, you just want to start smashing things until you're exhausted and fall asleep. But he was asked by a TV channel down here if he considers himself a classic birther. You know, birther. How about these terms? A birther. Hatfield said, quote, no, I wouldn't say that at all. I'm simply a citizen who is concerned to make sure that the Constitution is upheld and enforced. And the reporter asked him, so you don't know one way or the other whether he's a citizen of the United States? And Hatfield replied, well, of course not. I have not been given any sort of proof. So anyway, a little blast of magnolia juice from Georgia. Mazatlan Bob writes, subject line is Gun Boys. Mike, coming home from Albuquerque last night, the satellite was coming in portly, so we finished the podcast from Wednesday the 21st. To add to your rip on the Gun Boys, I recall reading Eldridge Cleaver's Soul on Ice back in 1970. He detailed how the Black Panthers decided to start carrying guns openly after checking the California laws back then. Well, when the good, i.e. white, citizens of the Oakland area saw these bad boys carrying rifles, shotguns, and pistols, the local government acted swiftly to legislate that loophole. I think it just goes to show another example of the teabaggers as the racists they are. Keep banging the drum, Bob. And I have something that, I'm going to save that for later. It's too long. Too long indeed. What else we got? Beep, 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 beep. From Landry in Bellingham, Washington. Mike, after the last documentary I saw on the Reverend Jim Jones, I thought to myself, that guy kind of reminds me of Glenn Beck. I remember you referring to Glenn Beck as Suicide Boy and saying that he might kill himself on his own show. At this point, I wouldn't be too surprised if he reenacted a Jim Jones live on TV where all of his dumbass cult followers in the studio audience drink his Kool-Aid, and then he shoots himself so he doesn't have to die slowly like all the rest of the people in his studio audience. On your show, you should do a segment where you make every possible comparison between Glenn Beck and Jim Jones. After all, I think America may need this as a wake-up call. Landry. Well, he doesn't have a studio audience. The people that you hear are his heavily sedated crew members. You know, the camera operators and the sound guy and the producer. You know, and they're all high on God knows what kind of drugs. Jim Jones, of course, was a guy down in from the West Coast who took 900 people into eternity in with him in Guyana. Yeah, I can see Glenn Beck definitely is that type. There is no question. And I think Glenn Beck would love to take 900 people with him. It would be an indication of the power of his personality, wouldn't it? Boo, 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 boo. We got time? No, we don't. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, podcast trivia. So during this commercial break, Kathy is going to open up the lines. And if you are one of the lucky winners, or the lucky winner, since we only do one on a Friday now, if you are one of the lucky winners, you will receive a one-year commercial-free podcast subscription to The Molloy Show. Downloads. Absolutely free. Oh, my God. With a total retail value of $59.40 if you were to buy it. How about that? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Would I lie to you, honey? Would I say something that wasn't true? I'm asking you, should I? Trivia. Brought to you by Tara of RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Check out her site.
All right, I can't do that voice anymore. You know what you win if you win. All right, let's give it a shot here. Mark is in Louisville, listening to Sirius. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Not too much. You driving?
Yes, sir.
All right, you ready to do this?
Let's rock.
All right. The creators of what popular Comedy Central TV program recently received a thinly veiled death threat from a Muslim extremist group for their disrespect of the Prophet Muhammad? Was it A, Ugly Americans, B, South Park, C, Mad TV, or D, The Daily Show?
That would be South Park.
That would be the right answer. All right. There was a blogger on revolutionmuslim.com. I'm going to put you on hold, Mark, because there's a lot of road noise coming through your phone. But you won. Way to go, pal. A blogger on revolutionmuslim.com warned that South Park co-creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone would end up like Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh, who was slain for making a film critical of Islamic society. All right. Mark in Louisville, Kentucky wins. Let's see how easy that was. Ah, wasn't that easy? Oh, my God. All right. Now we have some folks on hold. Let's take a couple of calls while we're here. Tom is in Bullhead City, Arizona. Oh, Arizona. Hey, Tom. I hope you're very white.
Like Jonathan Winters and Haggard Winters, that kind of white.
Oh, are you really? Okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, you're safe then.
Yeah, not really, because I got an Obama sticker on my truck. So
okay. Okay. You're in trouble too.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm carrying my passport around. I'm kind of worried because the thing is, if you carry, if you don't have a license, right? You know, you're dead, right? And if you do have a passport,
yeah,
you carry you around concealed weapons now, because the concealed weapons law, they just passed the same thing. Now you got people who can carry concealed weapons who have identity. Imagine.
Well, you know, and I know, there are going to be some shootings.
Oh, yes.
Here in Georgia, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was 2 years ago, they passed a law, this crazy Republican legislature, that said it is a defense to, if you kill somebody, it is a defense to claim that you felt that their language was threatening to you. In other words, if you're driving through traffic and, you know, you cut somebody off and you call him a son of a bitch, he can take out his gun and shoot you. Now, he'll be arrested. He will be arrested. But he can use that as a defense. So things are getting crazier and crazier. In Arizona, you have all these people, all these crazy people out there. And don't misunderstand, I know, and I fully acknowledge that the situation with a flood of immigrants into Arizona has become a problem. But there are ways to handle this, I'm sure, other than doing what's being done, violating the Constitution. I'm sure it violates Arizona state constitution. You can't, you know, it's an old line, but you can't beat people up and have them say, I love you. There has to be a way to do this, and I'm sure there are many ways to do this. The first way to do it would be to repeal anything and everything that has to do with NAFTA. I mean, just get rid of it. The North American Free Trade Agreement utterly and absolutely destroyed the ability of Mexicans, among others, but especially Mexicans, to make a living, especially Mexican farmers. It just absolutely destroyed their entire economy. And then when you couple that with an insatiable appetite in this country for drugs, we can't get enough drugs. We love drugs. We want drugs, more drugs, drugs, drugs. So you have the drug wars in Mexico that are now spilling across the border. Tom, thanks, man. I appreciate it. two situations that you can make a very strong argument for were engineered. Both were engineered by the United States. The drug horror in Mexico and the collapse, more or less, of the certainly the agrarian economy in Mexico. And all of a sudden, you have people that are coming to the United States any way they can. I mean, I would like to ask some of these white folks in Arizona, honest to God, if all of a sudden Canada were the superpower in this hemisphere and passed some kind of crazy laws that eliminated all the jobs in the United States, and Arizonans who had a certain skill they could no longer use in Arizona because the job was not there, but they knew that they could perform that job in Winnipeg. So they started the long trek north. I wonder how these white people would feel when the Canadians said to them, show us your papers, or we'll lock your ass up, or worse, and certainly deport you. So you're a white-skinned American, and you can't feed your family. Because of laws passed by Canada, your livelihood has disappeared. I don't need to draw that broad of an analogy, but certainly people understand. No, I guess they don't. What happened? You know, this has nothing to do with, you know, people wanting to come to this country from Mexico other than for jobs. I mean, people don't come here looking for citizenship. If they do, there's a way to do that. They don't come here because the scenery's nice. They don't come up here to visit Yellowstone or Disney World. They come here for two things, either to find employment or deliver drugs. And in both instances, it's the United States that has set that up, made that possible. Why is that so hard to understand? Oh, my God. Probably one of the quickest ways to eliminate part of the problem would be to legalize marijuana in this country, across the board, all the states, just legalize the damn stuff. I mean, what's the big fear about? As far as cocaine, well, we don't have the climate. Oh, maybe we did would up in the Rockies, but we don't have the climate to grow coca. So I guess that's always going to be imported, right? But maybe what we could do is encourage the methamphetamine industry in this country. You talk about some crazy people. Now, I'm just kidding. Methamphetamine is the devil. And I'm not religious. Methamphetamine is pure satanic evil. And I don't believe in pure evil. It is that bad. And it's all over the United States. So the people that can't afford cocaine from that comes through Mexico, run by the Mexican drug lords, they will go for the kitchen sink stuff or the stuff that you can now make in the backseat of your car. Huh? How about that? But America, we are a very sick, dying society. We really are. Come on. I don't say that with any glee. That breaks my heart. I wish there was something I could do to think of a cure. But this is a sick, dying, militaristic society. We have been warned for decades that we were approaching this tipping point, and we're here. We're here. The economy is in the crapper.
Oh, well, house prices went up, Mike. House sales went up, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's because we had some socialism to boost house prices, the $6,500 or the $8,000 tax rebate. Pure socialism, right? Yeah, if you get socialistic, we can turn the country around. But predatory capitalism is destroying us. We are dying. We are sick and we are dying. We are drug-addled. Our children are on drugs. Our adults are on drugs, either legal or illegal. It doesn't matter anymore. The problem with our relationship with Mexico, and that's what it is. It doesn't have anything to do with Honduras or Guatemala. It has to do with Mexico. That problem was created in the United States. It continues, the drug situation continues to be created on an hourly, minute-to-minute basis in the United States. and NAFTA, who, which Bill Clinton, I didn't know this until somebody sent me something. Bill Clinton is now saying that he regrets, I'm paraphrasing here, but he regrets having had anything to do with NAFTA. So, and I think he's saying it because of the realization that it has destroyed lives here, all over this hemisphere. I don't know how it's affected the Canadians, but it has damn sure affected citizens of the U.S. and certainly citizens of Mexico. Just absolutely slammed us up against a brick wall. What a shame. So these two big problems, you know, the answer is not to demand papers from people. The answer is to get real about marijuana, legalize it. And then if you want to tighten down on cocaine, go ahead. And rescind NAFTA. Let Mexicans figure out a way, which they always had in the past, to make a living in their own country. What a novel idea, huh?
Truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Now, before you send me an email, crack cocaine, I completely understand, is every bit as bad as methamphetamine. The cocaine itself is. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, if you live in the Andes and you chew coca leaves because it increases your heart metabolic rate so you can breathe at those high altitudes, I guess it's pretty cool. But no, there's nothing good that can be said about any kind of speed drug. Remember back in the 60s? Remember the signs that said speed kills? Remember that? Yeah. The pictures you could see every once in a while from autopsies of the organs of a 22-year-old who had been hooked on whatever speed, dexedrine, dexamil, methadrine, methamphetamines, all that stuff, and coke, although coke was not all that big in the 60s and early 70s. But you would see these pictures, and they were put up specifically to warn you. I worked for about 3 months in a crisis center, a drug crisis center here in Atlanta, way back in 1970. And in 1970 in Atlanta, it was still 1967, actually. But some of the stuff that I saw and dealt with on I was just a helper. I wasn't a medical person. I was just someone to move the bodies around when more space was needed. Living bodies, But the people who came in who were strung out on speed-like drugs were just, it was horrifying. People that came in who were having a bad trip, it's kind of fun. Well, for me, to sit and talk with them. I don't mean to torture them, but just to sit and talk. Hey, where are you now? Really? What color is it? How did I get off on that? Cigarette smoking too is a killer. They don't, you never see any more pictures of lungs that have been, I would be terrified to see the pictures of my lungs, even though I've been off that stuff for 8 years. Oh, my God. Back to your calls. Nora is in Minneapolis listening on KTLK, or not KTLK, on KTNF. Hey, Nora.
Hey, Mike. I saw you at the Blue State Ball.
Yeah, yes, you did. You did see me, yeah.
Don't even get me started about the use of these drugs. People have no sense the way they use them. Heavy drugs are meant for episodic, not addictive use. Like, would you do peyote morning and night every day?
I wouldn't think so. No.
Anyway, I wanted to mention, when you were starting to talk at the Blue State Ball,
yeah,
and Big Ed Schultz was leaving the room, and I was saying, I was grabbing his hand and telling him, thanks for putting Mike Malloy for advertising him on your show. And he said, oh, yeah, that's what it was, advertising. While you were just starting to talk, and you were saying, I'm just stepping out of being in the Psycho Talk booth here.
Dude, yeah.
Remember that?
I do. I do remember that. I do indeed. And I remember you, Nora.
I was just sitting here on my friend's laptop that he brought over for me to look at videos. The video of Keith Ellison, which I missed that night. So that was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Someone gave me a free Mac that I can't watch any videos on. It's like a newspaper, kind of. You can only look at pages.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. This laptop, I'm learning PC off of that.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm.
But, man, I called in because what you were talking about, the e-cigarette.
There you go.
I got a friend that has a terrible addiction problem, and she's finally, at the age of 37, getting the will to want to quit for the first time. But you know what? I think these e-cigarettes might be a good idea for her. But I saw Willie Nelson on Larry King about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie Nelson's recommending that people getting towards elderly that are marijuana users,
uh-huh,
he recommends switching to a vaporizer.
Yeah. Well, any kind of smoke that you take into your lungs is going to have a deleterious effect, you know. Timothy Leary, now I'm not trying to name drop, but I had a nice conversation with him in Boulder, Colorado 25 years ago with a bunch of other people, and he was at the point in his life where he said, no, don't smoke it. Eat it. You know, bake it into brownies, bake it into, or mix it into soups, put it into meatloaf. But for God's sake, don't smoke it. Smoking will kill you. Thanks, Nora. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. No, that's not name dropping. That just, you know, is a thing that happened. And I'm a better human being because it did. Do we have that Timothy Leary's dead? You played that earlier, didn't you? Leviticus 19:33-34. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, Arizona. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. I'm going to come to your calls in just a minute. There's an open line here if you want to call in. 877-996-2556. A couple of emails having to do with what we were talking about last night about education and these horrendous budget cuts that are, you know, another piece in this destruction of the United States, utter and absolute. And there's no mercy here. This is just this country dying. We sold houses last month, Mike. Yeah, okay. Jeff in Kenosha, Wisconsin writes, Mike, I just heard you talk about the country school systems. I'm lucky to live in a town where we have excellent school music programs. It's been this way for generations, that even my most ardent conservative friends will defend. The value of music in schools was best explained by a guest conductor at a recent school district orchestra festival. She said, congratulations, parents, your kids have won the lottery. Participating in orchestra is the most complex activity your child will participate in, and it will possibly affect every other aspect of their lives. The answers to the problems children experience in their school life, academic, social, behavioral, are in music education, the answers, end quote. Jeff goes on, we pay high taxes, but most people here agree that it's an investment worth making. The bad news is we've lost a lot of jobs. We have made automobiles here for nearly 100 years. These were union jobs that paid well, but Chrysler will close its plant here in December. LeBlanc, which made saxophones and woodwinds for decades, closed its doors several years ago. These are just two examples of local companies that made a huge contribution to the economic and cultural, economic life and cultural development of our town that we've lost to globalism. Push hasn't come to shove here yet, but it's coming. And I worry that we will lose what we worked so hard to maintain. Jeff in Kenosha. Yeah, that's it's so true. It's just so true. My immigrant grandparents, who my grandfather was functionally illiterate pretty much for most of his life, I was telling Kathy this the other day, but they had some of my earliest memories in their house, and he owned a gas station. He was a gas station tire dealer. Small business, little crappy, junky gas station in Findlay, Ohio, with an annex where he sold or repaired tires for people. And every single night when he came home from work, at least when I was there, I would spend most of my summers there. One of the first things he would do after he washed his hands with lava soap, he would go back into the room of their house they called the parlor and turn on this ancient record player and put on a 78 RPM of Enrico Caruso. And he would listen. That music would, float through the house. My grandmother got to the point where she didn't like it so much because she figured record players were tools of the devil. Anything that didn't immediately glorify Jesus Christ was, my grandmother was a Baptist fundamentalist. She really got crazed about it. But my grandfather insisted. So, you know, my mother and her brothers and sisters, they grew up with some sort of cultural ambiance floating around them. So when it came my mother's turn, she made all of us kids, and yeah, you had to beat us into doing it practically, do musical instruments. Mine, my mother decided, was a violin. And I took violin lessons for probably 7 years and played at one time in the Toledo Youth Orchestra. First violin, C. And first piece I ever played in concert was Finlandia. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Sibelius. Scared me to death. And if I picked up a violin right now, I could not I couldn't play a scale. But what it did do, all those years of taking violin lessons, it made the rest of my education, and I know this to be true. I didn't know it at the time, but subsequent to all that, I have read about how music instruction, music with an instrument, you know, has to be instrumental. I guess it could be singing also, but musical instruction does something to the little brain. It makes it more amenable to math and algebra and sentence structure and just the whole spectrum of education. And yet, what is one of the first things that is cut in these crazy budget stuff? Music. And then what's the next thing? Art. Although sometimes it's art and then music. My God. We just don't understand, do we? This is from Annie. Mike, I enjoyed listening to your show. Tonight's topic on education is something that has me sick at heart. I returned to the U.S. 6 years ago after having lived 30 years overseas, primarily in the Far East. I left a country in the early 70s, the U.S., with a fairly well-educated populace, though not compared to most Europeans. But I returned in 2003 and was just shocked to see the degradation of the average American's education. People cannot even speak or spell properly. And worse than that, don't even care. The closing of schools, the cutting of phys ed in the arts, and the firing of thousands of teachers bodes very ill for the future of America. We shall reap what we've sown, and much of the world's developing countries have already passed us by when it comes to educated and ambitious future generations. We're just too ignorant to realize it. Cannon fodder. That's all we'll be good for. Annie. Yow. And Jeremy in Southern California, quoting Arne Duncan, Obama's Secretary of Education, the quote is, quote, "We are trying to blur the lines between the public and the private," right? We talked about this the other night, end quote. Jeremy writes, "We on the left better get wise to this good cop, bad cop scam between the so-called left and the so-called right. These people are conservative versus ultra-conservative, and yet they aren't even capitalists. The public pays the cost and takes the risk, while they take the profits from what the public develops. Take aerospace, high-tech, internet, computer chips, etc., all developed by the military, paid for with public funds, while they hand the technology over to, quote, private, end quote, companies. It is a way to rob public funds while they accuse U.S. of being socialist. This is what we are, period. Welcome to feudal America." Mm-hmm. You know, I get these emails, and, you know, I get the emails with the misspelled, garbled words and the F word and, you know, we're going to kill you and all this other horse crap. But, and those bother me in the sense that I live in a country that can produce that, those kinds of emails. And yet I get these other kind that really restore my hope in people, in others of my fellow citizens. These are not people who would go along with immigration laws in Arizona like the ones that have been passed, or you got to show us your birth certificate, or any of this other crap. The emails I get from people like the ones I just read to you are from people who get it, who understand, who are probably just as distressed as I am to understand that the United States is dying.
Just don't worry, we almost
come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Mike, last October I got the opportunity to tour Japan playing music. I can't begin to tell you how far we are behind not only Japan, but so many other countries as far as education is concerned. I was told by my neighbor, who happens to be from the Ukraine, that not many people spoke English in Japan. Funny how I didn't know that, but she was right. The thing is, although not many people speak English, they know enough English to help you if you're in need. How many people here know enough of any language, including English, to help someone from another country if they are in need? But it really dawned on me how far behind we are in terms of education when a band member and I decided to visit Osaka Castle by taking the train. We figured out how to get there, and while riding the train, we asked an elderly woman, were we going the right way, by pointing to Osaka Castle on a map we had. She assured us that we were going the right way. Just then, at a stop, another lady and her five-year-old daughter with a school uniform on got on the train. The elderly lady asked the woman, were we going the right way, speaking Japanese, of course. The lady then said something to her daughter in Japanese, and her daughter came over to us and spoke perfect childlike English while pointing to our map and saying, this is where you are, right here. And this is where you want to go. You are going the right way. Just two more stops. Then she and her mother sat next to us. She was carrying what looked like a dollhouse that she may have had made with all of her little animals and dolls inside it. She read us a note she had written. It said, I like you, Will. You be my friend. This is my house. I don't think she wrote it for us, but she was happy to read it. She just talked and talked like any five-year-old. I almost hated to leave her when our stop came because she was such a little joy. Mike, as my friend and I walked toward Osaka Castle, the education thing hit me like a ton of bricks. You see, Mike, the other band member and I are African-American. I had to ask myself, what woman in America would send her five-year-old daughter to help two black guys on a train? I'm sure you know what I mean. First of all, this child was coming from school on a Saturday. What are our children doing on Saturdays? Also, her mother didn't see us as a threat. You see, we didn't feel that kind of pressure in Japan. I'm sure you know what I mean. Mike, this woman saw us not only as a chance to someone to help, but a chance for her daughter to practice her English with two Americans. Mike, I really enjoyed Japan, but I came back feeling so dumb. So, we can keep shouting, USA, USA, we're number one, we're number one. But, Mike, the world isn't listening anymore. They've moved on. Way on. Joseph. Good email, Joseph. Good story. Well, you know what I mean by good. What else? Excuse me. All right, to your calls. Ray is in Great Falls, Montana, listening on XM. Hello, Ray.
How are we doing?
Good.
That's good. You know, I just started listening to your radio program last night.
Uh-huh. Well, good. Thank you.
And what kills me is the hypocrisy that we hear in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the meltdown, you know, in the banks.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the banks was we never should have given them the welfare.
We shouldn't have what?
Give them the welfare at the end when we bailed them out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Capitalism says you live or die, and if you die, you should be kicked to the curb and stay dead.
And that's where we failed. Is that what happened?
Well, I think the way we failed was back in the 90s when the Republican Congress and the Democratic president conspired to end the Glass-Steagall Act that was passed back in the 30s. The Glass-Steagall Act said that a bank could not, on the one hand, be a place where you could save your money, and on the other hand, be a place that could get involved in investments and speculation, and I'm simplifying it, but that's essentially it. So Phil Gramm, former Republican senator from Texas, who wound up working at UBS in Switzerland, one of the worst predators on earth, Phil Gramm and a couple other people decided to introduce legislation that would end Glass-Steagall, and a lot of Democrats signed on with it, and Bill Clinton signed it. And I think that was in 96 or 97. So that released the floodgates. And if there's anything greedier on earth than a banker or someone with an MBA who's doing nothing to improve the country, but everything to enrich himself or herself, I'd like to know who that person is. And I can't think of anyone. Ray, thanks. Got to leave it there. Hope to hear from you again. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, last one here, and then we're going to back to your calls. This is from Mark in San Diego, I believe. Mike, when I'm not writing political articles, I give piano lessons to make my living. 7 years ago, I saw 68 students per week, taking only Sundays off. Things changed over the years, of course, and now I have 7 students left. Starting Monday, I'll spend the next 2 months working in an office scanning documents, right back where I was when I moved to San Diego in 1998. What you said about studying music when you're young and its positive effects to development is true, and there's no shortage of studies and information out there that proves it. Thanks for talking about this tonight, Mark. Yeah, like I said, when I was a kid, I had no idea about any of this stuff, you know, just like, oh, God, violin lesson again. Oh, no! Finally, after, I guess it was just less than 7 years, maybe 6 and a half, I finally talked my mother into letting me take drum lessons. The funny part was we couldn't afford a drum set, so I had a drum pad. You ever seen one of those? A little block of wood with a thick chunk of rubber on it, and you're supposed to do your studies on that. Well, it just wasn't the same. But regardless of the fact that I am functionally illiterate when it comes to music, it was profoundly effective in my education, and I've certainly passed that on to my kids, and Molly's the next one. And yet, when the crunch comes here in the metro Atlanta area, over in Cobb County, DeKalb County, Fulton County, there are 5 counties that make up the greater part of metro Atlanta. All of them are going right down the tubes, where it concerns everything. People continue to reject minimal tax increases to keep schools functioning. So there have been school board meetings in both DeKalb County and Cobb County in the past week or so. And parents are understanding now because the school systems here are firing teachers left and right, eliminating extra activities that don't do deal specifically with passing No Child Up Behind tests nonsense. Physical education, forget about it. Music, forget about it. Art, forget about it. Tutoring, if you're doing poorly in a subject, forget about it. After-school activities, doors are locked. Is there anything left? No. And the word here in Georgia is that it'll take years, literally years, to recover. And how did this happen? Well, part of the reason is so many sources of revenue to the state of Georgia were demolished by the banksters on Wall Street, who had great fun destroying everything and making billions in bonuses. In the meantime, or not in the meantime, but even now, you saw the reports, billions and billions of dollars in profit to these companies that not that long ago were declared too big to fail and had to be bailed out, and were bailed out by Bush and Obama. And yet I can travel about 15 minutes from my secret compound and be amongst children who have no idea why all the things they counted on, band and orchestra and sports. A lot of these schools are cutting high school sports, middle school sports. And they don't, you know, the kids don't know why. Well, there's no money. Why is there any money? There was always money. Why is there any money? My mom and dad had money when they went to this high school, because you find a lot of that here in the South. Parents that go to the same schools, or kids that go to the same schools as their parents did. And this is it's an absolute stupefying tragedy. We will spend $800 billion on weapons and destruction and murder and death and mayhem and poison and lies and deceit this year, but school systems all across the country are failing, folding, closing down. Class size going from 22 students per teacher to 40 students per teacher. On and on and on. Do you think there will ever, I'm serious, will there ever come a time, ever, when people in this country wake up to this, that American empire, through the barrel of a gun and great, great weapons technology. Oh, my God. Yes, look. Look at our fighter bombers. Look at these suckers. Stealth this. And, oh, boy, zing, bang, boom. Ah. Do you suppose we will ever realize what we are doing to ourselves? Do you think we ever will? Ever? Obama's not going to change anything. His successor won't change anything. The next president after that and after that and after that won't change anything. And why not? Why not? Oh, but boy, we're hell about stopping those brown-skinned illegal immigrants. Ah, show us your papers, you. It's just maddening, maddening. We have people running around this country claiming to be politicians who are Sarah Palin or John Kyle or I don't know. It's just heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking to finally confront the reality that our society, our country, is dying. Our priorities there are no more priorities. The priorities are militarism and money for the elite few, the 0.1% that will, by God, make money no matter how many schools are closed. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, they encourage the closing. Son of a bitch! And here we sit. Here we sit. I don't know how to deal with that, you know? I look at these bagger-type freaks down here. You know, Cobb County is, all these county schools are going down the toilet. And I think to myself, well, yeah, you know, Mike, not that long ago, you were railing about these schools, Cobb County to be exact. They had stickers that they put inside their science textbooks. Stickers. Approved by the Cobb County Board of Education. And the reason they put these stickers in is because they couldn't get rid of teaching the children creationism. I mean, they weren't allowed to teach creationism. So they put these stickers in that said, this book contains theory of evolution. It is only one of several theories. It is not necessarily true. And every kid who took these particular courses in Cobb County High School who are concerned the natural sciences had to confront that sticker. Son of a bitch. I mean, and why? Because we have Christian fundamentalists here and there and over there and up there and down there and over there. I don't care where you live, with a few exceptions. You've got these insane fundamentalist religious people, mostly the ones that destroy everything, are Muslim and Christian. You know it as well as I do. Jesus, God, how much longer are they going to be fighting their Allah and Jehovah nonsense? You know, what are we in? We're ending in the third millennium of this crap. The Christians and the Muslims, fundamentalists. No. We're not going to. Now, that's a broad blanket statement. I realize there are exceptions to that. I understand that. I understand that there are Muslim scholars and Christian scholars who free themselves from this madness of fundamentalism. But here in Cobb County, Georgia, it was the Christian fundamentalists that managed to get stickers in the books so that the children going to school, trying to study any one of several of the natural sciences, had to push past a sticker that told them what they were reading was not necessarily true because it challenged the real truth found in the book of Genesis. It's crazy. All right, take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
For any reason we can't devise, we wouldn't know when to let you old Pascal by the seat of his pants. Don't like the Northeast, he hates the coast, and he hasn't got a friend in France. Jesus votes Republican, and he's saving us from El Gore. And he believes in trickle down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed was not trying to just don't apply, cause it's everybody for himself. Jesus came in glory, and in glory he shall return. The preacher said, in God we trust, ye Democrats shall burn. No butterflies, no hanging chads can save them in the end.
Before the hour, haven't done this for a while. Thanks to all the people that helped make this program. Sharon Gordy, who's our military affairs correspondent. Kate Petrini, education. Bruce Enberg, economic affairs. Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, ethics advisors. And Kathy Bay, who's our engineer and executive producer. Daryl is in Santa Fe, listening on 1260 AM. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I love your show, and thank you for taking my call. And who knows, maybe another world is possible. I wanted to try to throw out something positive with all the bad news out there about education in Arizona. I always wondered, Did you attend any events, or are you familiar with the U.S. Social Forum? It was right in Atlanta in 2007.
No, I met some people who were here to attend it, but
That's fine. It was great. I mean, I was there, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
12,000 people showed up, and that's with no publicity. And if your viewer, if your listener has never heard of it, that's because it got no ABC, no NBC, not even any CNN, and we were right in Atlanta.
Right.
And just a little background very quickly. A U.S. social forum is like the world social forums that came out of the Battle of Seattle, except a lot of people, they don't know they have U.S. social forums, too, that are meeting places for activists, cultural workers. They're great places to meet up. And most of that 12,000 that showed up were people of color. It was great. And I just want to let people know that there will be another U.S. social forum this year in Detroit, Michigan, June 22nd through 26th. May I throw out an email address, a web address?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, go look it up at USSF2010.org, USSF2010.org. And it's something positive out there, which we don't get too much on your show, but that's because we don't get too much of it in the world.
I hear you.
Okay, Mike. Okay.
That's USSF2010.org.
Right.
Okay. I'll mention it as I can. Thanks, Daryl.
Okay.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Mike is in Salt Lake City, listening on XM. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Mike, I want to talk to you about that law in Arizona. And there's something that happened yesterday. I don't know if you heard about it, but I heard about this on another talk show. What happened was this police officer confronted a Hispanic American citizen and demanded, you know, his proof of ID. He showed him a commercial truck driver's license plus a social security number.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't good enough for the cop. So the cop put the Hispanic in handcuffs. He had to call his wife. His wife had to come down with his birth certificate as well as her birth certificate to prove, you know, to satisfy that cop.
Right.
The problem with that law in Arizona is this, Mike. I just hate it when one group gets singled out. What we're supposed to be here in America is everybody is to be treated equally and the same. What goes for one goes for all.
Well, I guess that's kind of the idea, but we don't live in a country like that. We really never have. Even the people that put the country together who said we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and at the same time, black people in this country were finally allowed to be 3/5 of a human being for the purpose of census or for counting, for representation for the white landowners. So, you know, when you have that kind of hypocrisy from the first moment of the founding of a country, that kind of hypocrisy, that country is eventually doomed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. No, they didn't. If they did hold those truths to be self-evident, then they would not have been slave owners. So the whole thing, and they probably wouldn't have, they may have continued with the genocide, but they would not have been slave owners. So, the country was founded in hypocrisy, racism, and genocide. It is no surprise, at least it shouldn't be, that after 230 years, it is crashing and burning. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you read the Declaration of Independence, Mike, there is a passage in there where it refers to the Native American as savages. So you can't tell me that the founding fathers were for equality for all. No, they They did not like Native Americans, and it's right there in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. Well, the point, I think, and thanks, Mike, the point, I think, is that there has been one class of people in this country that was entitled to all the good things you can get when you come to a country that is sparsely populated and take it over and exploit the hell out of it. There was one class, one race, and one gender. And over the years, of course, that has changed, or it's been mitigated a bit. It hasn't really changed. It's still pretty much that way. One class, one race, one gender continues to harvest, you know, all the goodies that are created or used to be created. I don't know. I just I have problems with all that. Don't you? Of course you do. I'll see you Monday. Take care and keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.
Search the internet.